Well, welcome to our noonday service here in Hebron today. We just want to run through some of the guidelines for COVID-19 with restrictions tightening up. We wish to remind you of some of the important recommendations. These are brought together from the government and presbytery guidelines of our general presbytery. When entering the church buildings through the link doors, when necessary, please queue 2 metres apart. Apply the hand sanitizer provided in the corridor. Only those from the same household should be sitting together here in the auditorium. Others should sit 1 metre apart. Only the disabled toilets should be used during these services. The congregation will remain seated during the singing of the hymns. When we exit the building, we will do row by row when prompted by the elders or deacons. Do not congregate, please, in the exit foyer. And if speaking outside, please maintain social distancing outside of the church building. The presbytery wants us to share these important notices with all of our congregations. We're going to commence this morning by turning to hymn number 50. The words will be above me here. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be, keeping our seats as we raise our hearts and souls to the Lord. The chorus, let's sing that final line on three occasions. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. We're going to be dealing this afternoon with the faithfulness of the little maid. And so let's really sing this with all of our hearts and souls, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Turn for our psalm reading to psalm number 29. It's good to see our good friend and brother, the Reverend Stephen McCrae, from our Carrickfergus congregation with us this morning. And so after the reading of God's word, we're going to ask our brother if he'll come to the pulpit here at the front, and if he'll lead us to the throne of grace in prayer, please. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forests. And in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Ending our reading in verse 11, we trust that the Lord will add with his own divine stamp of approval the public reading of his precious word. Brother McCrae.
Let us seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we come afresh into thy presence again this day. We know that thou art holy, thou art righteous, and thou art gracious. As we gather here, we know that there's many around about us that know not thee as our Saviour. We thank thee for saving grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry. everything to God in prayer. Lord, I thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee for even for allowing us to be in Thy house, even to not only to sing Thy praises, the great is Thy faithfulness, but also, O Lord, to know that Thou art a faithful, mighty God who's able to hear our prayers, answer our prayers. We pray that our brother, as he brings Thy word this day, that it would be a word that is in season to our hearts. From a little maid. Lord, we thank Thee for the little maid there in Kingdom. We thank Thee for, Lord, for what she did and how faithful she was. We pray that each and every one of us would be faithful to Thee. Lord, I think of another man in Scriptures called Cornelius. How that the Bible tells us that he sought the Lord. It tells us how he prayed much. Lord, we thank Thee for the day there was that realization. We thank Thee for the day there was that repentance of heart. We thank Thee for the day there was that, Lord, understanding that he was a sinner before a mighty God. And yet he came humbly and reverently. He desired to hear about Jesus. Lord, I pray that throughout this land this day, that there will be a desire to hear about Jesus, who's able to save sinners from their sins. And Lord, I pray that you'll bind us, O God, together, that you'll give help, and Lord, that you'll give wisdom. We pray for each and every one that knows Thee as their Savior, that you'll build them up in the things of God. Lord, I think of even as I'm reading this morning in Jeremiah and how that the people said, we will not listen to God. We will not obey God. But yet, O God, we thank Thee for those that are in Christ Jesus' day, that listen to God, obey God, that serve God, because they know that God reigns and God is able to deliver men and women and young people from their sinful ways. Lord, we pray for every individual. Thou knowest the needs of a congregation. Thou knowest, O God, the needs of every home. Lord, we know we're living in different difficult situations and difficult circumstances, but yet God is still on the throne. An old song tells us that He will remember His own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. Praise God. God is still on the throne. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt bind us and, Lord, strengthen us and help us and do lead and guide in all things, that we shall, even though we're going through situations, may we cast all our cares upon Him, knowing that He careth for each and every one of us. The Bible says He careth for you. Lord, do lead and guide and undertake and help us as we sing Thy praises. Help us, O God, to lift our hearts. Help us, O God, to praise Thee. And as the psalmist, O Lord, as we think of the psalmist even as well today, as the psalmist sought the Lord. Lord, as we pray that today that would be each and every person as they came into this meeting, that they were seeking God for a word in season. They're seeking God for Phil as He brought a word for to our hearts. And we pray that this day that we'll go home knowing that it was good for us to be here, for here we met afresh with the Lord. Lord, I pray, O God, that You will speak to each one of our hearts. And Lord, we pray that we would go home, Lord, knowing that the Lord had placed His hand upon this congregation this day, upon the preacher today. And we pray that You will lead and guide and undertake in all the things. And Lord, I ask, O God, that Thou would bless us and do us good. And we pray that You will lead us on. And Lord, I can say as a preacher of the gospel even this day, I say thank You, Lord, for shaping my soul. Lord, I pray for every individual. Lead them, guide them, or whether they're the littlest child or the oldest person. Lord, may they continue to be led and pointing people to Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, I pray, deliver, O God, men and women in these days from their sinful and wicked ways. Bless our college. Undertake for the young men who are coming out of college. Bless those that are going in. Lead and guide them as well. We pray for the missionaries. Do bless and do them good. We pray, O God, that You'll keep them strengthened in the things of God. Lord, just as we're facing situations, they are too. And we pray that You will, O Lord, strengthen and build them up, Lord. And may they, even through these times, O Lord, see many souls won for Christ Jesus. O Lord, for he that winneth souls is wise. Make us wise. Make them wise, Lord, in the gospel, and may we see many and many one for Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, there's many things we could seek Thee for. There's many things we could ask Thee for. But Lord, You just told us to cast all our cares upon Him, knowing that He careth for You. And Lord, help us to cast our cares. Help us to leave every situation in before Thee. And Lord, may we lead, may be led by Thee, guided by Thee. And Lord, may we see answers to Your prayers. Oh Lord, I pray. Lord, do bless this meeting. Do us good. Help us continue with this now, I pray, as we sing thy praises in the Saviour's precious name's sake. And the people of God say, amen. Amen.
Can we thank our brother for leading in prayer? We want to give you all a warm and friendly welcome to our service of worship here in Hebron today. Special word of welcome if you're visiting for the first time. And of course, we always welcome those who are tuned in on the World Wide Web via Sermon Audio and Facebook. This afternoon, we meet at 3:30 for our open-air service. This week, it's in Ballinamore. And so please pray that the Lord will use that witness, even this afternoon, to reach the lost for Christ. This evening, we meet in the Gospel at 7 p.m. Please pray for our brother Mervyn as he comes and breaks onto us the bread of life this evening. On Tuesday, the Christian school recommences. So again, we would value your prayers for the teachers, for the students, for all who are involved in the schoolwork there in the Christian school. Please remember all of our children and young people as they return to their schools and colleges and universities, that the Lord will bless them and will be with them. On Thursday of this week, we have our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. It's at 8 p.m. And in the will of the Lord, the Reverend Park will be with us on that occasion. And there will be a special time of prayer for the independent Christian school here in Ballymoney. For our ruling elders, it is our general presbytery meeting on Friday of this week. That will take place in our Ballymena congregation. There will be social distancing at that meeting, and the meeting commences at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, we propose to recommence our early morning time of prayer. We have really missed this season of prayer. We've had some tremendous times when the Lord has come down amongst us and has blessed us, and we have felt his presence. But during lockdown, of course, these meetings were postponed. They recommence next Lord's Day. The worship service next Lord's Day will take place at 12 noon, and our pastor in the will of God will be with us. The family night service will be at 7 p.m. And it will be the testimony of Matthew Hunter. Matthew's life was almost ruined completely by drug addiction. And you can see, as we briefly read through this, to most people, Matthew was a young man, healthy, with everything going for him. Managing a gym, Matthew was very conscious about his health and staying fit. However, just beneath the surface, lay a hidden and dangerous problem. Matthew had developed an addiction to cocaine. Matthew was termed a functioning addict. Able to hold down his job and give the appearance of a normal life, eventually, as it always does, the addiction took over Matthew's life, and his life came crashing down around him. The answer to his addiction, of course, was not found in himself, but through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Matthew's story provides the hope and direction that others trapped in addiction are so desperately seeking. Come along next Lord's Day evening and bring your family and friends and hear what great things the Lord has done in the life of this young man. Can we thank you for your tithes and gifts and offerings, for all the support, practical support that you have given to the work of God here in Hebron. The special appeal is still open, and we are nearly there with regards to the new projector and the new cameras that we propose to install. That has been another additional gift of £300 this week. The total received so far is $18,500 with $300 donation. We thank all of those who have made a contribution to this worthwhile cause, and we trust that the Lord will bless even in the days which lie ahead. Further announcements will be made next Lord's Day in relation to the Sabbath School, the Bible class, the Youth Fellowship, Youth Challenge, and also the Senior Fellowship. Please remember the work amongst the boys and girls. It recommences on Sunday, the 6th of September at 10 a.m. And of course, this will be run by our children's workers within the presbytery. Please remember those who need our prayers, and of course, these are some of the requests. We long for an intervention of the Lord in relation to our land and the circumstances surrounding this virus. Please pray for the ministry here at Hebron, for the protection of our people, for gospel opportunities and conversions, for the work amongst the children, the youth, the seniors, for our office bearers and for all our workers. Please remember the frontline services, those who are really at the forefront of the battle against this virus. Don't forget, of course, our missionaries, both home and abroad. I want to remind you of the sick and the needy, those who are aged and infirm within the congregation and further afield. There is a list of the names there. Please remember to bring them one and all before the Lord. We do have the container project, and some items need moving from one of the containers to another container. Both containers are out there in the car park at the moment, and we propose to do this on Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. But we need as many volunteers as possible. Many hands make light work. And so please make that note in your diary. If you're doing nothing on Tuesday evening and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m, then there is a work for the Lord that you can do here. We want to offer our congratulations to our dear sister Sadie. Sadie McCauley celebrates a very, very significant birthday on Tuesday of this week. She's been a great asset to the work of God here over many, many years. And I believe, said before from this pulpit that if we had female elders, Sadie would be one of them. Now, we have no desire to appoint female elders, but certainly Sadie would be at the top of the list. And so we want to offer our congratulations to our dear sister on this milestone in her life. We're going to further praise the Lord by turning to hymn number 515. It's screened above us. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? You're telling the lost of the Saviour. Are you ready his service to do? Keeping our seats, please.
Thank you.
have your Bibles with you, can we turn to the second book of Kings and chapter 5, 2 Kings and chapter 5. It's good to see our brother James and Sally back with us today. 2 Kings chapter 5, and this is what the word of the Lord hath to say. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his masters, and honourable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valour, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go. And I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10,000 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Then come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Ending our reading in verse 14, we trust that the Lord will add his blessing of approval to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer, please. Father in heaven, as we now turn aside to thy truth, we long, Lord, that thou wilt give us listening ears and understanding hearts. We pray that it might please thee to move from seat to seat, from heart to heart, and grant that we might be conscious of a felt presence in this place. We might know that the Lord is here, and he's here to bless us, even this afternoon. So, Lord, undertake, we pray, grant that I might decrease, that Christ may increase, even during the ministry of this thy truth. For we ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. I wonder, would you agree with some of my opening remarks? Here's one. It's relatively easy to be faithful to God when everything in the garden is so rosy. It's easy to serve the Lord when the Lord is pleased to shine upon your life and upon my life. When the blessing of God is flowing down upon us, and when you and I are riding upon the crest of a wave. In those times, it's not really an issue to serve the Lord, to serve him and to love him and to worship him and to be faithful to him. When the sea of our life is ever so calm. But friends, what about when the storm comes? What about when the lights go out in your life and in my life? What about those times when our plans are all disrupted and they're all frustrated, when our circumstances change and the surroundings change in just a moment of time? A week Friday passed. I had two appointments. One was in a place called Castle Rock, not far from here. The second appointment was in a place called Muff in County Donegal. I was advised after the first appointment, you really need to go past McGilligan Prison. You need to head for the ferry. The ferry will take you across the Foyle. That's the easiest way from Castle Rock. And so that's the way I went. I went down and onto the ferry. And as I was on the ferry, travelling across the Foyle, called over one of the charge hands and I said, I'm going to an appointment in Muff. When I roll off the ferry, do I turn right or do I turn left? He told me, you need to turn left, but I think the road's closed. There was a horrendous accident last evening, and I don't think the road's open, and so there'll be a detour. He was right. There was a detour. You know, later, I heard some very, very disturbing news. There had been a horrendous accident. Sadly, the night before, under very severe weather conditions, a car had careered off the road. It was at Quigley Point. It plunged into the River Foyle. The father died. His 12-year-old son died. His 6-year-old daughter died. And only the mother survived. Folks, I've been greatly burdened for that family, and in particular for that woman, this past week. Been a big part of my prayer life. Praying for Geraldine Mullen. The funeral service, or part of the funeral service, were broadcast on the local TV station. And Geraldine said this. She said, "In a moment of time, our lives were completely changed." Folks, I want you to pray for that dear woman, that the Lord will give her beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that He will sustain her in these very, very dark and in these very difficult days. In just a moment of time, everything changed. Sometimes events overtake us all. And sometimes we fall victim to circumstances that are beyond your control and they're beyond my control. And that's what happened to the little maid that we read of in the passage this afternoon. She's mentioned in only 3 verses in the whole of the entire Bible. In verse 2, we read, she was taken. In verse 3, we hear what she said to her mistress. And in verse 4, we read of the impact of the testimony that she bore in the home of Naaman. And so that's all we have this afternoon, is 3 short verses of scripture. There's not a lot that we know about this young girl. We don't know anything really about her background other than she came from Samaria. We know nothing really about her parents. We don't know if she had brothers or sisters. We don't know her age. Friends, we don't even know her name this afternoon. But what a trophy of grace. She was to be in the home of her captors. What an instrument in the hand of God. And what a blessing she was going to be in the home of Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. You see, one day, this young maid was awoken out of her sleep. Little did she know that this day was going to change her entire life. It seemed like just every other day when she woke that very morning. But little did she know, and little did her family know, that everything, it was about to change in a matter of moments. Unbeknownst to her, the Syrian army, under the leadership of Naaman, were heading for her very city. Their intentions, it was to destroy the city. It was to wipe out her people. It was to rob and to pillage them of all of their wealth and all of their belongings. And it was to take from them slaves. They would go back to Syria and they would be held in a place of bondage. It's true that sometimes bad things happen to good people. And that's what happened to this young girl. She was kidnapped. She was swept away by the hands of a cruel tyrant. She was taken by the hand of an evil aggressor, removed from the safety of her own home. How true those words in Proverbs 27 and verse 1 are. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. Being taken was bad enough, but this young maid was taken, and she was placed in the very home of the kidnapper, of the man who had organized the raid that day. I wonder, can we get a glimpse of this young teenager as night after night she goes to bed and she weeps her way to sleep as she thinks about her people, her home, and all that she's lost. And she thinks about those who knew her best and those who loved her most. And here she now resides as a slave in Syria, in the very home of her kidnapper. And she's waiting upon Naaman's wife, of all things, and catering for her needs. It's not an easy task for a young teenager to perform at such a tender and young age. We said we didn't know much about her background, but what we do know is that this young teenager, this young girl, this little maid, she was about to have such an influence, such an impact in that home in which she was held hostage. An influence which would reach the very royal courts of Syria itself and would resound in the ears of the king of Syria himself. Oh, if we were to pause there for a short while. Friends, never think for a moment that the Lord can't use you in the very place that he has you right now. Never think that the unwavering faithfulness that you might exhibit in a day of darkness will have no impact upon the people that look upon your life. Never think that our walk and our talk and our ways will be dismissed by the unregenerate who look upon us. Because the Lord takes the ordinary in life to do the extraordinary. He takes the natural in order to perform the supernatural, that you and I, who seek to serve him, might be an influence for God in a dark and a desperate day in which we live. You can make an impact for Christ in the very place where the Lord has been pleased to place you. The Lord's not looking for success in your life. He's not really interested in your bank balance or your popularity. Folks, it's faithfulness that the Lord wants to witness in both of our lives. That when the going gets tough, and it will at times for you and I, that we're able to lift our Ebenezer to the Lord in praise, worship, and adoration, that the world might say that we have been with Jesus and have learned of him. Being faithful in a day of darkness, being faithful in difficult days, I wonder, do we know anything about it ourselves? Are we the type of individual that goes to pieces whenever things fail about us and the storm of life starts raging? Here was a little maid. Her life has completely collapsed before her very eyes in just a few moments. And never, never was it going to be the same again. What did she lose? She lost her family. For all we know, her parents may have fallen victim in this vicious attack upon the city. She lost her home and was taken not just to the next town or village, but she was taken 9.5 hours away, 500 miles. She lost her freedom. She couldn't choose now where to go or what to do. She lost all her liberty. She was incarcerated in the home of her kidnapper. Friends, in the midst of it all, she never lost her faith. In spite of what had happened, she never lost confidence in the God of Israel. And she didn't lose the Lord. In spite of all that had taken place. I want us just very, very briefly to see a few things in her life. First of all, the humility that this little maid displayed. We didn't read of her creating anarchy in the home of Naaman. We don't read of her resisting the instructions of Naaman's wife, of mounting a rebellion in the home. Oh, she had every reason, you know, to be obstinate, to be a rebellious young teenager in her adolescent years. She had every reason to cause problems in the home of Naaman. But those qualities, they were not found in the life of the little maid. No, rather, she exhibits something of a Christ-like spirit in her life. She, like the great apostle Paul, she could have said, "For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." You see, this little maid had been grounded in the truth by faithful and by God-fearing parents. She saw her kidnap, though difficult it was to accept, she saw her kidnap as being part of the greater plan of God in her individual life. Oh, don't ask her to understand it. She didn't understand it for a moment. And if she was here, we couldn't ask her to explain it because it was beyond her wisdom and comprehension to explain why such things should befall her in this life. I've no doubt she didn't welcome the untimely events of this disruption in her life, having to learn a new language, having to cope with a new culture, having to serve a new schoolmaster. But the humility which she displayed showed us something of the character in which she was raised, something of her pedigree. It's a tremendous tribute to her godly parents, for they had done a great job with this little girl, raising her in the fear and admonition of the Lord, grounding her in the truth of God, preparing her for eventualities in life. And we see, first of all, a humble spirit and a contrite heart. Let me say to the parents which may be amongst us this afternoon, never despise your responsibility before God in grounding your children in the faith, that they may have a firm foundation upon which they can build their lives before him. Can you see the humility? Just a few words in Scripture, just one sentence she speaks in the whole of the Bible. But we see not only the humility which she displayed, but the integrity which she demonstrated. What does that word integrity really mean? It means to be honest. It means to maintain strong moral principles. In fact, the dictionary definition says integrity is to follow your moral and ethical convictions in doing the right things in all circumstances, even when no one is watching. Having integrity means that you are true to yourself and would do nothing that would demean or dishonor your credibility before others. And so this little maid, she just serves the Lord in silence, with humility, with great dignity, with reliability, with spirituality, and with great integrity. You see, she knew that the world is watching. Providentially, she realized, young though she was, this has all happened to me for a purpose. It's all happened in the sovereignty of a great God and for the furtherance of his truth in my life. She realized, you know, it's no mistake. Of all the captives that have been taken from Samaria and brought to Syria, it is no mistake that I, of all people, should be the one who's chosen to go and to reside in the home of my kidnapper and to wait upon his wife. She realized this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. I believe that she noted God's plan this, God's purpose this for my life, and I'm going to shine in my small corner. I don't know what the crisis is that you might be facing in life this afternoon, dear Christian. But I know this, that in the midst of it all, Christ wants your life to tell for him. He wants you to shine in your small corner, and he wants me to shine in mine, to bear the fruits of the Spirit in the life that we live before him. And so we can see her great wisdom as she says, and she determines within her heart, I'm going to serve God before my captors. I can just see the wife of Naaman as she watches this young Israelite move about her home and waits upon her. She watches and observes her conduct and her conversation and even her convictions. She notes the compassion that the maid appears to have. And maybe one day, she asks the question, do you miss your home? Do you miss your family? Oh, I could just see the wee maid being presented with an opportunity here whereby she might exalt the Lord in her life. Ma'am, it's all in the keeping of the providential purpose of God for my life. I'm here, you know, not because your husband kidnapped me, but in the permissible knowledge and will of God, it was his plan for me to come to your home. I'm here not because the Syrian army tore me from the arms of my parents, but rather God wants me to be in this place. I can see her as she begins to recall the godly upbringing that she was given, and she says to her mistress, "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make me glad in the city of God." Come now for a few moments as we look upon it and we see the humility which she displayed and the integrity which she demonstrated. I want you to see the sympathy which she declared. Naaman's wife appears to be downcast. She appears to be distressed and discouraged. And a conversation is taking place in her quarters between herself and her handmaids in relation to the increasing and advancing problem of Naaman's leprosy. You see, the leprosy, it seemed to be getting worse and worse. Can you see this wee maid? As she's combing the hair of her mistress. And she's watching. And she's listening to the conversation. And she sees the sobs of Naaman's wife over his deteriorating condition. And yes, though his condition is getting worse and worse, if it was you or I in that situation, or perhaps we would have been combing her hair and thinking, what goes round comes round. Perhaps we would be thinking, it's his own fault. Hasten the day of his demise. Not the little maid. Though this man had taken her from her home, she strangely feels burdened and concerned. And with sympathy for his condition, she cries out, "Would God, my Lord, would visit the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And when Naaman's wife looks round, hear the tears falling down the cheeks of the young maid. And the place is saturated with the presence of God. Just one sentence. Just 20 words in Scripture. But oh, what passion! Oh, what conviction! What assurance when she said those words. What authority she had. Oh, when they saw the tears, what great sympathy. As the tears roll off the cheek for her kidnapper. This was not natural. This was supernatural. This wasn't ordinary. This was extraordinary. What an impact she makes here for the God of Israel. Would to God, my Lord would visit the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would deliver him of his leprosy. Look what happens. The humility she displayed, the integrity she demonstrated, the sympathy which she declared. Look at the testimony which she developed. Verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid, that is of the land of Israel. When they saw the comments that she made, when they saw the compassion that she showed, when they saw the conviction that she had and the concern which was displayed in her life, it convinced all in the royal court that the God of heaven meant something real in the life of this little maid. Can you see her testimony and the faithfulness of serving the Master here? It reached way beyond the living quarters of Naaman's home and right into the royal palace and came before the ears of the king of Syria himself. Because that's how our God can work, with a completely consecrated life that's given over to him. Think about it. She was so low in life, and Naaman was so high. Think about it. She was so weak in this world, and Naaman, he was so strong. She was so little. We read in verse 1, he was so great. He was a great man. She was so insignificant, but he was so mighty. But then when she exercised faith in the God of Israel, the maid who was the captive became the captain in the home. And authority moved from the position of power right over to this weak, this little maid who just served God with her all. You see, the maid had the right message, and she was not afraid to speak of her Lord and her Lord's prophet. In closing, as we stand upon the threshold of a brand new week, you and I don't know what we have to face, the mountains that we have to climb, the obstacles that we will have to navigate around, the difficulties that we will have to overcome in the permissible will of God. We don't know what we've got to face this week. Do you know, for you and I, it could all change in a matter of seconds. But if we take nothing else from the service this afternoon, take this home. God wants us to be faithful in the midst of the storm. He wants you and I to prove him, even in our problems in this life. And he wants you to be a witness for him. You see, if the world can see Christ in my crisis, then we have a chance of winning the lost for him. What did we sing together just a few moments ago? And with this we'll close. Is your life a channel of blessing? Question mark.
We need to answer that, you know. It's either yes, my life is a channel of blessing, or it's no. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? It's yes, or not really. Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Question mark. How many folks have we spoken to this past week? How many times have we looked for that opening that the Lord, by the power of His Spirit, may have given us to witness to someone? Are you telling the lost of the Saviour? Let me ask this question. Are you ready? Right here and now, are you ready His service to do? Hymn writer said, Lord, make me a channel of blessing today. Lord, make me a channel of blessing, I pray. This life, possessing. And Lord, my service, blessing. Won't you make me a channel of blessing today? God can do it. God will do it. But folks, He longs for a surrendered life to Him. I wonder, would you place your life on the altar of sacrifice for Him today? Say, Lord, take me and use me. And through my life, my witness, my testimony, magnify the person of thy dear Son. Let's close our meeting in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for help this afternoon. Lord, we don't know the difficulties, the problems, the obstacles the folks in the service here have today. Lord, thou knowest all things. But Lord, we pray that Christ might be seen in our crisis. That with Christ in the vessel, we would be able to smile at the storm that we are facing, that we have faced, that we're about to face. Give us the unfailing faith of this faithful little we made, we pray. We might silence the world by the life that we live, by the humility that we exhibit, by the majesty of our God. Part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. And as Mervyn comes this evening to preach the whole counsel of God and the glorious good news of the gospel, oh, grant that there may be souls here who will start out for heaven and for home and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen. The deacons and elders will now come to you row by row, and we'll take our lead from them accordingly, please. Thank you for coming this afternoon, and we trust that God will bless. Please come again this evening and listen to our brother Mervyn as he breaks onto us the bread of life this evening.